Today's daf is Chagiga, daf Chaf Beis. We left off six lines down on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. We had mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, the beginning of the Perek of Chaf Amud Beis, that there are 10 or possibly 11 chumros of Kodesh greater than Truma. And the first chumrah that we stated in the Mishnah was a chumrah of Kli B'toch Kli. That when it comes to Truma, one is permitted to be tovel utensils one inside the other. Yet when it comes to hektish, one is not permitted to do that. And we had a machlokas in the Gemara between Rav Ila and Rava as to what exactly was the concern or the problem by Kodesh as to why one was not able to be tovel kli b'tol kli. Rav Ila on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph had stated the issue was chatzitza, that when you have this inner kli pressing down on the outer kli, so it's going to be a chatzitza both for the bottom of the inner kli and the outside of the outer kli. But Rava had argued and said that the Mishnah had already stated a separate chatzitza case, and therefore he thought that the concern was actually a gzera, lest one come to tovel within a kli that has a very, very small opening, one that even though some water could trickle through, would not be halachically considered a valid opening, and therefore the water that would get inside would not be considered to actually be tovel the item inside. So now the Gemara over here wants to know, what is a case that one could describe that would be a nafgamina, a practical difference between the opinion of Ila, that the issue of kli b'toch kli is chatzitza, and the opinion of Rava, that the issue is a gzera, lest one come to tovel a kli inside a kli that doesn't have an opening of a shofaris hanod. So says the Gemara, my ikabein de Rava al de Rav Ila. Give me a case that's a practical difference. Siki benayu, sal v'gargutni, shimilein kelim v'tfilam. So what if I tovel a kli inside of a very large basket, which is like a strainer or a sifter they would use when they were pressing grapes to make wine. So you have a very, very large basket which has holes in it. So why is that a nafkamina? So says the Gemara, Lamanda Amar Mishim Chatzitza, according to Rav Ila, that the issue of Kli B'toch Kli is Chatzitza when you put it in the water, Ika. So you still have a Chatzitza issue because at the end of the day, when you put a smaller Kli inside this Gargutni, it will be pressing, the weight of it will still be pressing on it, and it will cause a chatzitza. However, lemanda amar mishum gzeira shema yatpil michitim v'tzinorus b'kli shem p'shofaris hanod. If the whole issue of kli b'toch kli is lest a person come to be tovel a kli inside a kli that does not have a opening that's wide enough, well, salvig our gudni. Well, these very large baskets and sifters and strainers, she'ein b'pien kishavarsa node, that there's nothing like them that has that small of an opening. Everything in that category of basket and strainer is extremely large, and therefore, leka, there's no reason to make a gzera. If one would be tovel inside one of these large baskets, there would be no other scenario where one might then come to be tovel in a smaller basket or strainer, because there's no such thing within that category, and therefore that case is a practical difference between the opinion of Ila and the opinion of Rava. Now, va'oz the Rava l'taime. Rava, as we know, is the opinion who said the issue of kli b'toch kli is a gzera lest I come to be tovel in a kli without a proper opening. Da'ama Rava, salvaga gudni, shemilein kelim, vitbilam tahorin. That if one in fact did this, one in fact was tovel kelim inside one of these big baskets or strainers or sifters, so the kelim that were toveled are tahor. Because Rava said, the whole issue is a gzera, but in this case, since these kelim never have small openings, a gzera was never made. So this is Rava l'shitaso. And now once Rava said that, he quotes another opinion having to do with one of these big baskets or strainers. And that case is, umikva shechilku b'savagar gudni. Let's say you have a mikvah that's 40 sa'. 40 sa' is the minimum shear of a mikvah. And let's say you have one of these strainers that's placed underwater in between, precisely in the middle of this mikvah, dividing it 20 sa' on one side, 20 sa' on the other side. So hatovel sham lo also lo tefillah. So if one would go to the mikvah in either of those sides, or even in the entire mikvah and just the kli is just there, that would not be a valid tefillah. Why? Da'ara, because the ground, the earth, kula chilchule mechalchala. We know there are little channels, hollow channels of water running underground throughout the world, connecting different rivers and bodies of water. So you would think, any body of water I have in the world, even if it's less than 40 saw, maybe it should be a good tefillah to tovel in it because it's connected to other bodies of water underground. No, uba inon dika mem sub emakom echad. Nevertheless, Chazal required that you have 40 saw in one place. And here too, as Rashi points out, this strainer has holes in it. So technically the water is running between the two sides of the mikvah, and yet Chazal still required you have it b'makom echad. And since this kli divides the two sides of the mikvah, it's not considered to be in one place. Now interestingly, the Mefarshim over here note that the Rush actually brings this line of the Gemara as a proof to his opinion that when a person wants to be tovel himself in a mayan, in a natural spring, that natural spring needs to have 40 saw of water. Now we mentioned in the previous dapim that the difference between a mikvah and a mayan, mikvah is a collected body of rainwater and a mayan is a natural spring. So one of those differences is 40 saw. That many achronim and rishonim even state that when it comes to a mikvah, obviously the mikvah needs to have 40 saw. And many rishonim say that for a mayan, for a natural spring, one does not need to have 40 saw. So the Rush brings a proof from here that no, if a person is being tovel in a mayan, he needs to have 40 saw. How do you see from here? Because over here, we're talking about natural bodies of water in the ground. And the Gemara is saying that you still need 40 saw b'makom echad. So it seems very clear from here that even for a mayon, one would require 40 saw. Now the Torah actually quotes a machlokes rishonim about this in Siman Reish Aleph in Yoredeya as to whether a mayon needs 40 saw for tefillah of a person. But this is really one of the major proofs of the Rush that one in fact would need 40 saw for the tefillah of a person. Now, interestingly, this raises the question. So, can there be a mesh netting going down in the middle of a mikvah? It sounds like we're saying that if you have this strainer in the middle of the mikvah, even though there are holes, so it divides the mikvah. You don't have 47 makom echad. So, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Aleph Sif Nun Beis says that if you have a separation in a mikvah with a lot of holes that separates two pusul mikvahs, meaning each of the mikvahs on either side do not have the requisite shear of 40 saw, then even though there's small holes in the netting or the kelim, they do not join the two mikvahs, and essentially it passels it. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Mechaber, if one of the mikvahs is already kosher, then as long as there are holes that can join to equal the opening of a shofar sanod, it can join to make the other mikvah kosher. So let's say you have a mikvah that's 60 saw, and you have a strainer or a netting going down with a lot of holes, and it divides it into 40 saw and 20 saw. So there the Shulchan Aruch writes, as long as you have one of them that's 40 saw, you could even be tovel in the 20 saw portion because it can be joined. But you cannot have two 20 saw sides being divided by a mesh netting. That's the halacha that emerges from our Gemara. Says the Gemara, v'hani mili. Now we're going back. We know Rava's opinion was that one cannot be tovel a kli b'toch kli. Why? Lest one, it's a gzira, lest one come to be tovel a kli within another kli that has an opening that's not wide enough that wouldn't halachically be a valid tefillah for when water gets inside. But the honey mealy, Rava only says that bikli tahor, if the outer kli within which you are tovelling your inner kli, if that outer kli is tahor, meaning when you're putting these two kelim in the mikvah, what are you trying to accomplish? Are you trying to be tovel both kelim? Do both kelim require tefillah? Says the Gemara, no. When Rava said that a tefillah of kli b'toch kli doesn't work, that's only when you're only trying to be tovel the inner kli. Meaning you take a normal kli from your cabinet that's already been toveled, a large kli, and you want to be tovel a smaller kli inside of that. That's when we say no good. Aval b'kli tamei. Let's say the outer kli also needs tefillah. Then Rava, even Rava would admit that the tefillah works even for the inner kli. Why? Because migo de salka tefillah l'kule gufei demana. Since we know the tefillah works for the outer kli entirely. When one is tova kli b'tov kli, we do assume that the water can get inside and out on the outer kli. And so once we say that tevilas kalim works on the outer kli, salka nelhunami lekalim de ispe, it would also work on the inner kli as well. And therefore, Rava would admit and agree that if the outer kli and the inner kli both require tevila, then even kli b'tov kli, it would be a valid tevila for both kalim d'tnan. And we see this beferish explicitly in a Mishnah in Mesachas Mikvaos, which says, kalim shemilon kalim v'hitbilon, if I fill up one kli with another kli, and I put both them in the mikvah, hare elu tahorim, they are tahor. However, v'im lo tovel mayim, hamuravin achi umuravin shar zanod. That last line, I'll read the words, but we don't know what it means. And if it was not tovel with water, a mixture of water until you have enough water, the size of a valid opening. So my ka'amar v'im lo tovel. What would that mean if you didn't go to the mikvah with it? That doesn't make any sense. No, hachi kamar. As opposed to the first case, which was, if you had two kalim, which are both tamei, and you dip them in the mikvah, then this Mishnah is saying, they're both tahor. However, hachi kamar. The Seifa was saying, v'mein sarach la'tvilo. Let's say the outer kli was a kli tahor, and what didn't require tvila. Then, umayim ha'murav, machi umurav m'kshir v'ar zanod. Then the inner kli would not be tahor unless you had a wide enough opening that would allow it in of Kshuvarsa node. So you see this distinction within Rava between kli b'tov kli, where the outer kli is tahor, and then we say the inner kli is no good. Or if it's kli tamei the outer kli, then migo, then once the tefillah works for the outer kli, it also works for the inner kli. So you see that the nafka mina over here, between Rava, who says that the issue with kli b'tov kli is this gzira of being tovel within an outer kli that doesn't have such a wide opening, and Rav Ila, who says chatzitza, we said earlier on in the Amud that the nafka mina was this type of large strainer, where according to Rava, it's not an issue because there would never be a case where the kli wouldn't have the requisite opening, whereas according to Rav Ila, it's still a chatzitza. So now the Gemara just says, v'had de Rava v'de Rav Ila tenaihi. This machlok is about a case of a large strainer, where Rava would say it's fine, and Rav Ila would say it's still a problem, is actually a machlokes tanoim. De Tanya, we have a braisa which says, salvig argut nisha melein kelim v'et vilam. You fill up one of these large strainers with other kelim, and you put it in the mikvah, so being the kodesh, being the truma, tahorin, korn tanakama, whether those kelim are being used for hektish or for truma, it's tahorin. Now, which opinion does that sound like? That sounds like Rava. Because Rava is the one who says that if the whole issue is about the opening of the kli, then since these large strainers, there is no issue with that, it would be tahor. And therefore, this Tanakama would align with Rav Ila. Or rather, Rav Ila would align with Tanakama. Abashal Omer, Latruma, Avalola Kodesh. That would line up with Rav Ila. Because Rav Ila would still say, even with the large strainer, you cannot use it for Kodesh, be tovel it for Kodesh, because you still have a chatzitza issue. Very good. Now the Gemara has a very interesting question over here. The Gemara says, Ihachi truma nami. Meaning, if the whole issue over here is that a kli b'tov kli is an issue, and therefore, for Kodesh, we're going to say no. Now, whether it be according to Rav Ila, because of Chatzitza, or whether it be because of Rava and the Gzeira of the wide opening, if we're so concerned about Kli B'tov Kli, then why would we allow it when it comes to Truma? So says the Gemara, Leman Ka'amrinan. Who's asking a Shaila about whether they can be Tova Kli B'tov Kli? Chaverim. Chaverim here doesn't mean friends. Chaverim means someone who's makbid on tahara. And therefore the Gemara says, chaverim mida yadi, chaverim no. What does that mean? Says Rashi, hilkach l'truma l'ikla mechash. Why? Tamida yada shir ir mikvos, lian kredo shol klinamim kabiru magbino so. Meaning chaverim, they know how to solve both of these issues. According to Rav Ilah, that the issue is a chatzitza, well, chaverim know that that's going to be an issue, and therefore when chaverim are tovel kli v'tov kli, they'll make sure to lift up the inner kli, so it's not pressing on the outer kli. And if the issue is the gzera, let's say, of the wide opening, they'll make sure when they're being tovel it, to make sure it's a wide enough opening, that all water can pass through properly. And therefore, when it comes to truma, we're not concerned because chaverim know how to handle it. Says the Gemara, Yahachi kodesh nami. So I don't get it. So just because the kelim are being used for hektish, it's the same chaverim, it's the same tamid chachamim. So if they know how to solve the problem, then there should never be a problem. And therefore, even kelim being used for hektish should be mutter, should be tahor. Why? Because even if a kli b'tol kli might be an issue, but chaverim know how to solve the problem. Says the Gemara, true, but chazile ama'aretz v'ozil matvil, if we allow chaverim to be tovel kli b'tol kli for the sake of hektish, ame'aretz, those who are not makbid in Tumat Tahara, will see that, and they'll go do it, not realizing, oh, the chaver, he lifted up the inner kli, or he made sure there was a wide opening, so an ama'aretz will come to do it in an improper way. And therefore, they made a gzera, even for chaverim, no one do kli b'tol kli ever. Says the Gemara, well, then why would it be mutter by truma? Truma nami chazli ama aretz v'azo matvil. If the ama aretz saw a chaver being tovel kli b'tol kli for the sake of truma, wouldn't the ama aretz also mistakenly think that they know how to do it, but do it in the wrong way? Says the Gemara, yes, but that wouldn't matter, because lo mekablinim minayu. What are the stakes here? What's the risk? An Am Ha'aretz is going to see a Chaver being Tovel, Kli B'Tol Kli for the sake of Truma. He's going to do that himself, and then what? If an Am Ha'aretz uses Kalim for Truma, or makes food used for Truma, we don't accept it from him. And therefore, the stakes aren't so high. As Rashi points out, only a couple times a year, where it's the certain season, where we assume everyone's metahir themselves, then we might allow it. But the rest of the year, we assume that Ami Aretz are Tame, and we would never accept Truma for them. So there's no risk here, because even if the Ami Aretz by Truma would get it wrong, and do Kli B'Tol Kli the bad way, but no God-fearing, observant Jew will ever be benefiting from or accepting their Truma. Says the Gemara, well, Kodesh Nami lo nekabel minayu. So then, why is Kodesh Usher? Let's say an Am Ha'aretz mistakenly does Kli B'Tol Kli for the sake of Hektish. So if he brings Hektish Kelim or actual Hektish to us, the Chaverim, why would we accept it from him either? Says the Gemara, no, we do accept Hektish from him. Why? Havile Eva. Because Am Ha'aretz make up a major percentage of the population. And if we wouldn't accept their kelim or their hektish, it would create a lot of animosity between those who are, let's say, more learned and more observant and those who are less, and we don't want that to be the case. So the Gemara says, well, truma nami habile eva. So when the Am Ha'aretz comes and says, here's my truma kelim, and we turn him away and say, sorry, we don't trust you, is that not also going to cause a lot of animosity? Says the Gemara, no, it won't. Lo ikpas le, he doesn't care. Why? When it comes to hektish, the only individuals who are accepting hektish are chaverim, are observant kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash. However, when it comes to truma, a person can give truma to any kohen, and there are many kohanim that are Ami Aretz as well, are not well-versed, are not learned, are not makbid on Tumat Tahara. And therefore, if the Am Ha'aretz takes Truma and tries to give it to a Kohen Chaver, and the Chaver says, sorry, I won't accept that, why does he care? He'll go to his friend, the Kohen Am Ha'aretz, he'll give it to the friend, and there's no risk. So that's the distinction, ultimately, between Kodesh and between Truma. when it comes to Kodesh, the reason why we make this Chumrah is because Eva. Because we have to assume that an Ama Aretz might see a Chaver being Tova Kli B'to Kli, not realize that the Chaver did it in the correct way, he'll do it in the wrong way, and we will be accepting his Hekdish and his Hekdish Kalim because we have to, because of Eva, but that's a problem, because those Kalim are actually improper. Whereas by Truma, there's no concern, because we actually wouldn't accept his Truma, and that's not going to cause Eva, because he could just give it to a Kohen Ama Aretz. Says the Gemara, Uman Tan Dechayesh LeEva. Now, who is of the opinion that we're concerned for Eva, for this animosity between Chaverim, those who are makbid on certain halachos, and Ami Aretz, those who are not? Rabbi Yossi is the opinion of Yossi. Where do we see this? Titania in a Braisa. Rabbi Yossi, Nemaha Kone Manal Taras Yayim Hashemen Kole Mosa Shana. Why do we believe everyone on the purity of their wine and their oil the entire year? And Rashi points out, that means if anyone, including an Ama Aretz, brings wine for libations or shemen for menachos, the Beis HaMikdash, we would accept it. Why? An Ama Aretz might be Tamei. Kedei shelo yehi kol echad v'echad holech ubone bamo liatzmo v'soref para adum liatzmo. Because if we tell a very large portion of the population, we don't trust you to bring your libations or your shemen, your yayin, you know what they'll do? They'll go build their own mizbeach in their backyard, which is completely prohibited, and they'll go offer libation in their backyard. Or they'll go burn a paraduma in their own backyard. So therefore, to prevent this animosity of them feeling rejected and going and making their own religion, or going and doing their own thing, therefore Chazal determined that we should accept their yayin, their shemen, because of the concern of Eva. Continuing on this theme, Amar Rav Papa, apparently, we would accept the testimony in court of an Ama Aretz, even though you would think an Ama Aretz is not necessarily believed on certain items. Since Rabbi Yossi, we saw his concern for Eva, animosity, so too, that's the reason why we accept the testimony of Ama Aretz, because if we didn't, it would cause much animosity. Now, all of the Rishonim and Achronim over here ask that the Gemara in Psachim says there are six things that we know about an Ama Aretz, and one of them is a Mosrin lo Edus v'mekabel menu Edus. We don't accept testimony. How could the Gemara over here say, according to Rabbi Yossi, we accept testimony from an Ama Aretz, if there's a Gemara in Psachim which says explicitly, we don't. So the Rif answers that we're talking about two different types of Ami Aretz. The Ami Aretz here, he's not learned. He's not well-versed in Tumah Tahara, but he has Derech Eretz. He does basic mitzvos. And therefore, he's not chashud. We're not concerned that he's going to steal and swear falsely, and therefore we can believe his testimony. However, in Pesachim, we're talking about Ami Aretz. Not only is he not well-versed in Halacha, but he's actually a bad person. He does averos. He steals. There, we cannot accept his testimony. Interestingly, Tosas over here says that we can also rely on this Gemara, on Rabbi Yossi, to make a mezumin with an Ama Aretz. Nowadays, even though we paskin in Brachos, in Mesachas Brachos, that we don't make a mezumin with an Ama Aretz, but we're choshish for Eva, meaning imagine get to the table at lunch on Shabbos, you say, we have mezumin. Actually, we don't. You're an Ama Aretz. How would that make that person feel? It would cause a lot of animosity. And therefore, that could be a reason why we make mezumonim even with Ami Aretz. Although the Re, quoted by Tosos, offers a much more simple explanation as to why nowadays we include Ami Aretz in a mezumin. And the reason is because who has the barometer? Who's determining nowadays who's a Talmud Chacham and who's Ama Aretz? Is there a test you can take? You say he's an Ama Aretz. Maybe he thinks you're an Ama Aretz. And therefore, because nowadays, we don't really know who's Talmud Chacham, who's an Ama Aretz, we can assume we're all, at least for Mezumin, a Talmud Chacham, and we could all combine with each other to bench. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. V'nechosh l'she'ela. So, now this is a very interesting issue. The Gemara over here is wondering, Why are we not concerned for borrowing? We said in the Mishnah that when it comes to being tovel kli b'tol kli, it's permitted for truma. And the Gemara just now fleshed out, why is that? Because there's no risk. Even if an Ama Aretz would see a chaver being tovel kli b'tol kli in the right way, and the Ama Aretz does it in the wrong way, and metami olas kalim, well, it doesn't matter because we don't accept his truma. So it's not going to be a problem. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. We might not accept his truma, but he still has, because he did kli b'tol kli in the wrong way, he has tamei kalim in his house. Are we not concerned that he has a chaver, next door neighbor, who comes and borrows his kalim? And that's going to be a big michshol, because now the chaver is going to be borrowing tamei kalim from an ama aretz. Now, where do we see that we're concerned that a chaver would borrow a kli from an ama aretz? In the following Mishnah. In the Mishnah, in Idios, which says the following. Kli cheres matzil al hakol. Divrei Beis Hillel. So, we have to know a couple of things about Hilchos Tumah Tahara over here. Number one is that a kli cheres, an earthenware vessel, has a unique status in that under normal circumstances, it's not mitame migabo. The outside of the kli is not mitame. So therefore, let's say something tame touches the outside of a kli cheres, it's not mekabel tumah. Only the inside. And therefore, if you actually would be mukaf tzmid psil, if you would seal a kli cheres very well, it cannot become tummy at all, because it can only become tummy on the inside airspace, but if you seal it up, it can't become tummy at all. Now, what if you place a kli cheres? Let's say you have two stories in a house. On the bottom floor, there is a dead body, but you have a hole in the ceiling, and you have a second floor, and you plugged up that hole in the ceiling with a kli cheres. So we have another rule we have to know, which is that when tumah travels, so if there are kalim that are tummy themselves, so when tumah rises and travels, it can pass right through kalim that are already tummy. But if you have a kli that's not makabel tumah, the tumah that is on the lower floor will not be able to pass through it. And therefore, picture a scenario where you have a kli cheres that's plugging up a hole between the first floor and the second floor, and you have a mace, a dead body, on the lower floor. So what's the status of objects on the upper floor? And furthermore, what's the status of objects that are within the kli cheres? So the Gemara over here, the Mishnah over here says, Divrei Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says that kli cheres is matzil al hakol. That if you have that scenario where kli cheres is plugging up at a hole, everything on the upper floor, everything contained within the kli cheres is tahor. Why? Because since the outer part of the kli cheres is not makabel tumah, when the tumah tries to rise, it gets blocked. So therefore, everything above it, whether it be inside the kli cheres or the entire second floor, will remain tahor. However, Beis Shammai Omrim, Eino matzil ela al ochlim v'al mashkim v'al kli cheres. The kli cheres only saves food and drink and another kli cheres that was inside. But any other object within the kli cheres on the second floor, it would not save. We have to figure that out. So Amar lahem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai v'nei ma. Beis Hillel says Beis Shammai, I don't understand your opinion. Why would the kli cheres only protect food and drink in kli cheres, but not other things? So Amar Beis Shammai v'nei shu'tami al gabi ama aretz. Because the scenario that Beis Shammai is discussing is where this kli cheres is in the possession or has been owned by an Ama Aretz. Now we assume Ama Aretz is not makbid on Tumah Tahara, so Mistame, his kelim are Tameh. If Kli Cheres is Tameh, that's a different story. Then Kli Tameh Chotzeitz. Once Kli Cheres is already Tameh, then when the Tumah from the dead body on the first floor tries to rise, it shoots right through the Kli Cheres. Because now, according to Beis Shammai, Kli Cheres is already a Kli Tameh. So Amr Lehem Beis Hillel, okay, but now let's shift the question. So if the scenario you're discussing is with a kli cheres that's already tame, and therefore the tumah shoots through, so why did you say that for some reason the kli cheres can protect the food and the drink that are inside the kli cheres? I thought the tumah just shoots right through. So Amar lahem Beis Shammai, no, you're not understanding me. Kishetiharnu ochu mashin shabatocho. When I said that I'm mitar the food and drink inside, turning over to Chaf Bez Amud Bez, la'atzmo tiharnu. It's not really tahor. I meant for the Am Ha'aretz himself, meaning he can eat the food and drink inside of it. Why? Says Rashi, because chaverim are never going to eat it, because as it is, chaverim stay away from the food and drink of Ami Ha'aretz. And anyway, Ami Ha'aretz eat tamei food. So to say that it's tahor for Ami Ha'aretz is another way of saying, who cares? Ami Ha'aretz are going to eat it, so let them eat it. However, Aval says Veishamai, Nitras Akli, Shetiraso Lech Velo, but I'm not going to go as far as to permit other Kelim, which would be permission for the Ami Ha'aretz and Chaverim. Why? Says Rashi, because we're choshesh for she'ela, meaning when it comes to food and drink in the Kli Cheres, if we say it's mutter for an Ami Ha'aretz, it will remain mutter only for an Ami Ha'aretz, because chaverim stay away from the food and drink of an Ami Ha'aretz. But, says Beis Shammai, I can't permit other objects that are in the Kli Cheres, because if I permit them just for the Ami Ha'aretz, guess what? Chaverim, we're choshesh, we're concerned, we'll come and borrow those kelim. So I have to say, it's tameh for everyone. So what do you see? You see in this Mishnah that we're choshesh for she'ela. We're concerned that chaverim borrow the utensils of Ami Ha'aretz. Now, the Gemara is going to go another 15, 20 lines before we finalize this kasha. But that's going to be the question. Tanya, I'm Reb Shua. Boshni medivreichem, Beishamai. Reb Yeshua says, I'm embarrassed from your words, Beishamai. Meaning it's very strong language of essentially saying, I don't agree with you, Beishamai, that you tell me that the food and drink and the Kli Cheres inside, those are tahor, but everything else is tamei. Efshar isha lasha ba'ariva. You have a woman kneading dough in a certain kneading basin. Or isha, you have isha ba'ariva, Tmei and Shiva. Let's say you have the Isha Ami Ha'aretz, she becomes Tamei Mace. So she's in this second floor attic, right? You have the Mace on the first floor, so she's kneading this. So what are you going to tell me? That the woman herself and the kneading basin, both her and the Kli, are Mitame Tuma Shiva for Tamei Mace. And yet the Batik, the dough that she's kneading is Tahar? Does that make any sense? But that's exactly what Beis Shammai said. Beis Shammai was mechalek. He distinguished between the food and everything else. Similarly, lugin mali mashkin. You have a basin, you have a kli filled with liquid. Lugin tamei tuma shiva. The kli itself is metame tuma shiva when it's on the upper floor from the dead body on the lower floor. Umashkin tahorin. How could it be? Good kasha that Rabbi Shua asks. So nitfalo talmud echa mitamid Beis Shammai. So one of the Talmidim of Beis Shammai got up and said, Amar lo, Omer lecha tayim atshol Beis Shammai. He said to Rabbi Shua, I'll get up and I'll explain to you the opinion of Beis Shammai. So Amar lo, the Talmud said, Emor, go, say it. Amar lo, so the Talmud said, let me ask you a question. Kli tamei chotetz, oeino chotetz. If you have a kli plugging up a hole where the kli itself is tamei, does that block tuma or not? Amar le, Rabbi Shua said, no, it doesn't. The tumah shoots right through a tameh kli. Okay, next question. Kli shel Ami Ha'aretz, tameh or tahor? The kli of an Ami Ha'aretz. Do we assume it's tahor or tameh? Amar lo, Rishua says, tameh. It's tameh. So therefore, v'imato omer lo, tameh, klum mashgiach alecha. If you tell the Ami Ha'aretz that his kli cheres is tameh, is he going to listen to you? Now, what's the issue here? We know Kli Cheres is unique from other Kelim in that there's no ability to be tovel it. Most Kelim, you take them to the Kelim Mikvah, it takes 2 seconds. By a Kli Cheres, you have to break it. And therefore, Ami Ha'aretz, they're not really makben on Tumah Tahara. So, if you would tell an Ami Ha'aretz that he had to break his Kli Cheres, he wouldn't listen to you. Similarly, if you told him his food and drink was Tameh, there's no way to tovel food and drink, you'd have to get rid of it. He's not going to listen to you. If you told him he's tamei, his possessions are tamei, he would say opposite. My things are tahor and yours are tamei. So therefore, that explains the distinction within Beis Shammai. Why did Beis Shammai permit the food and drink and kli cheres of an Ama Aretz? It was only for the Ama Aretz. Why? Because he's not going to listen to you anyway. If you told him his food and drink and kli cheres were tamei, he wouldn't do anything about it because he's not throwing out his food or drink and he's not breaking his kli cheres. That's why Beis Shammai says it's tahor for him. But other kelim, we can tell the Ama Aretz be tovel it and he'll listen to us. And that's why we assume the rest is tamei. V'zehu taiman shel Beis Shammai. And therefore the Talmud explains to Rabbi Shua, this was the logic of Beis Shammai. Wow. Miyad halach Rabbi Shua v'nishtatach al kivrei Beis Shammai. Rabbi Shua became embarrassed that he talked in such strong language against Beis Shammai. Remember, he said, boshni midivreichim, I'm embarrassed because of your words. And now he realized he was wrong. And he would prostrate himself on the grave of Beis Shammai. And Amar, Nanesi lachem atzamos Beis Shammai, I was so wrong. Your words are so much greater than mine. Umas dumo shalachem, if this is what becomes of your words that are hidden, meaning your logic over here was not apparent, I needed clarification from the Talmud. But now that I understand it, it makes so much sense. Kach mefurasho, sachas kam v'kama. All the more so, your opinions that have inherent and apparent logic to them, all the more so how strong logically they are. And Amru, they say about Rabbi Yeshua, kol yamav hushchu shina meitan Yosef. His teeth would be so black because of all the fasts that he accepted upon himself because he used a strong language against Beis Shammai. Anyway, after this tangent, says the Gemara, k'tani miyas le'lecha v'lo. We said, Beis Shammai said, I can't permit kelim for just an Ama Aretz because I have to be concerned that a chaver will borrow it. Alma shalina minayhu. So you see, a chaver borrows from an Ama Aretz. Why is that a question? How could our Mishnah permit Truma by Kli B'toch Kli? But aren't we concerned in Ama Aretz will see a chaver do it? The Ama Aretz will do it in the wrong way. He'll be metame all his kelim, and then a chaver will borrow it and end up using tame kelim. Says the Gemara, kishalim inayu matbiun luhu. It's not a problem because it's true. This will all happen the way we just said it, but a chaver knows better, and therefore, when a chaver borrows kelim from an ama aretz, the chaver will make sure to tovel it first. Says the Gemara, yachri nehadu lebeis hillel lebeis shammai. Then when Beis Shammai made this whole response, oh, well, I can't permit kelim just for an Ama Aretz because Chaver might borrow kelim from Ama Aretz. So then, if this was really true, Beis Hillel should have responded to Beis Shammai and said, why is that a problem? Kishalim inayim abiluhu. Permit it for the Ama Aretz. And if a Chaver ever borrows a kelim from Ama Aretz, the Chaver will just tovel it. Says the Gemara, there's a big distinction between the Tumah in our Mishnah and the Tumah in this Mishnah in Mikvos about this Kli. Why? Because what was the Tumah we were discussing with the lower floor and the upper floor? Tumei Mace. When it comes to Tumas Mace, says the Gemara, Bay Hazah Shlishi Vishvi. It's not a one-day Torah process. You have to have sprinkled on you on the third and seventh day. It's a seven-day process. And therefore, umana l'shiva yome lo mushla inchi. The reason why it's not going to work here, the reason why Beis Shammai was correct, is because when it comes to Tumas Mace, it's a problem. Because the Ama Aretz is going to have kelim that are metame mace, right? Those kelim require sprinkling of shlishi ushvi. If the chaver borrows the kli, the chaver can't tovel it himself, because this item requires a tefillah on day 3 and day 7, and we assume when a person borrows something, he doesn't borrow it for 7 days. So it's not going to be in the possession of the chaver long enough for him to tovel it properly, and that's why Beis Shammai said, it's tamei for everyone. Yet in our Mishnah, it really could be possible that a chaver would borrow the kli from the Ama Aretz and tovel it himself, because we're not dealing with Tumas Mace. Says the Gemara, V'atvila lo mehemna? But is that really true that we don't believe him on the tefillah? Meaning, the fact that the chaver has to tovel the kli, the implication is that we assume that an ama aretz doesn't tovel his own kelim. Is that really true? The hatanya, nemanin ami aretz al taras tefillas tamei meis. We assume ami aretz do tovel kelim if they become tamei meis. Am rabaye lokasha habagufo habakelav. No, no. When do we believe in Ama Aretz to be Tovel? That's his own body. Meaning if the Ama Aretz himself became Tamei Meis, then we assume he goes to the mikvah. But we do not assume he's Tovel his Kalim. Says the Gemara, Rava Amar, different answer. Aidi va'aidi b'kelav. Right? Really, we assume an Ama Aretz does Tovel his Kalim. But actually, it depends what he tells us. The Lokasha, when do we believe in Ama Aretz to say that he tovled his kelim? If he tells us, not only did I tovel my kelim, I never toveled in a kli b'tol kli, one kli within another. Then we believe him that he tovled his kelim b'tara. However, when do we not believe him? He says, I did tovel my kelim, and I never tovel my kli in a kli that had an opening less than the shofar hanod. So he's admitting he was tovel kli b'tol kli. So that makes us nervous. So it's true. He is saying I did kli b'tol kli in the right way, but for that we don't believe him. That's the distinction. Says the Gemara, V'hatanya, Neman ama aretz lomar peros lo hukshiru. Aval eno neman lomar peros hukshiru. Aval lo nitmu. Right? This vahatanya, not a question, says Rashi. It's benichusa. I mean, this is an additional proof. We see this distinction not only when it comes to a kli, also when it comes to peros and their machshu lekabel tumah. We know a fruit or any produce has to be wet in order for it to accept tumah. So if the Amaris tells us these fruits never became wet, we believe him. But if he tells us they became wet, but I guarded them from tumah, we don't believe him. Because once he tells us that this produce or something in his possession was already in a questionable circumstance, we do not then believe him to tell us that he took care of that situation and made it proper. Okay? Says the Gemara, Va'agufo mimahemin. So according to Abaye, we made a distinction and said that Amei Aretz are believed to tovel their own bodies. They're not believed to tovel their kelim. Is it really true, according to Abaye, that an Ama Aretz would be believed to be tovel himself? Ha'atanya, chaver shabal lahazos mizin lav miyad. So let's say you have a chaver that's tamei meis. So we know he has to have sprinkling on day 3 and day 7. Let's say he comes to us, to the sprinklers, and says, it's day 3 for me right now. I would like sprinkling. So we say, okay, and we sprinkle him. We believe him. Ama Aretz shebo lahazos, and Ama Aretz comes to us and says, it's day 3 for me, please sprinkle me. Ein mazon alav, at shiyase b'faneinu, shlishi b'shvi'i. We say, we don't believe you, it's day 3. We make him be with us for 7 days, and we'll sprinkle him on day 3 and day 7 of that. Oh, what do you see from here? You see that we do not believe in Ama Aretz to be tovel his own body. Because here, he's talking about being tovel for Tumas Mace on his body. And yet, when he comes and says, it's day 3 of my Tara process, we don't believe him. So, do we believe him for his body, or do we not? Says the Gemara, El Amar Abaye, it depends. The answer is, it depends when he comes. If he comes on day 3 and says, it's day 3 for me, we tell him, no. We want you to start the process with us. And therefore, we do not believe him. We make him do all 7 days in front of us. However, if he comes and says, I had tumah, and now I'm tahor, afterwards we say, you know what, we believe that's the case. And therefore, because of the chumrah initially, that we don't believe him, it's day 3, we have a cool at the end, that if he says he went through the whole process and now he's tahor, we actually do believe him. That's the distinction. Okay, that's all finalizing case number one in the Mishnah on Chafam Abayz of Kli B'Toch Kli. And that explains the distinction in our Mishnah between Kodesh, where you have a Chumrah, that you cannot do Kli B'Toch Kli, and Truma in our Mishnah, where you can do Kli B'Toch Kli. Moving on to the second case in the Mishnah, which was Achurayim B'Toch. We said in the Mishnah, another Chumrah is, when it comes to Truma, let's say you have a Kli that has several uses. It's outside, inside, has a handle, so if only one part of the Kli becomes Tameh, let's say the outside, the inside and the handle can remain Tahor. Whereas by Kodesh, if one part of the Kli becomes Tameh, everything becomes Tameh. Says the Gemara, my Achurayim B'Toch, what does that actually mean? Kiditnan, Kli Shinit Ma'achura B'Mashkin, let's say the outside part of a Kli becomes Tameh with liquid, Achurayim Tameyin, only the outside becomes Tameh, Tocho Ogno Ozno V'Yondov Tahorin, the inside, the lip of the Kli, the short handle, the long handle, are all Tahor. However, Nitma Tocho, if the inside of the Kli becomes Tameh, Kulo Tameh. Rashi points out, this is because Tumas Mashkin is only an Isra D'Rabbanan. So normally, if you have Tumah D'Oraisa, let's say the spit or the urine of a Zavah, Tumah D'Oraisa, if that touches any part of a Kli, the entire Kli becomes Tameh. However, by Mashkin D'Rabbanan, which is only an Isra D'Rabbanan, Tumah D'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan wanted to make a Heker. They wanted to make it recognizable that this Tumah is not Tumah D'Oraisa, it's a lower level Tumah. So what they did was they changed the halach a little bit. They said that if this Tumah D'Rabbanan gets on the outer part of a Kli, the inside will remain Tahor, so that people should know this is the only Tumah D'Rabbanan, and they should not come to burn Truma or Kachim thinking this is Tumah D'Oraisa. Okay, continuing, we said in the Mishnah, Bisat Svita, there's a part of a Kli called the Bisat Svita. So we want to know what that is. It says the Gemara, my Bisat Svita. What's a Bisat Svita? I'm Rabbi Huda, I'm Shmuel, Makom Shetzovto. It's the place where you hold the Kli and pass it to someone else. V'chein Omer, as the Pasuk says in Megillas Rus, V'yitzpat La Kali, that he says he passed her something. Boaz passed Rus something. Okay, very apropos. We're dealing with, we're coming up on Shavuos. Ravasi Am Rabbi Yochanan, Makom Sheneki Hadas Tzovin. No, the Beis HaTzvita, you remember those sectional plates they make for kids so the ketchup doesn't touch the other items on the plate? It's like that. You have a little section on your plate that they would store the condiments so it wouldn't touch the other food. That's the Beis HaTzvita. Tani Rabibi Kamei Derab Nachman Kol Kilim In Lam Achrayim V'Toch. No Kilim have this distinction between the outside and the inside. Echad Kachim is Mikdash, Echad Kachim Agvul. There is no distinction when it comes, whether it be Kelim of Mikdash or Kelim of Gvul. So Amar Lei, say said to Rav Nachman says back, Kachi HaGvul Mainihu. What's Kachi HaGvul? Kachim of boundaries? Truma. Truma. Why is it called boundaries? Because you could eat Truma anywhere in Yerushalayim. Says Rav Nachman, I don't get it. But it's not. Acharayim v'toch beis hatzvita l'truma. There is a distinction by Truma that if something just touches the Acharayim, the toch is still mutter, still tahor by truma. How could you say by kachei gvul, there's no distinction? If kachei gvul means truma, that would be a stira to our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, oh, it must be kachei gvul doesn't mean truma. Dilma lechul shenas vataras hakodesh. It means chul that's treated with the same restrictions, same sanctity as kodesh. That's what we say has no distinction between the outside and the inside. Meaning, chul shenas vataras hakodesh essentially has the same din as Kodesh itself, where there's no distinction between Acharayim V'Toch. Adkiran Milsa, the Amrava Ravua, and this reminds us of that which we said, Achas Esrei Milo Shanu Kan. We had 11 categories in our Mishnah. Sheish Rishonos, the first six, which this is number two, so it's in the first six, the restriction of the Kodesh applies, Bein LeKodesh, Bein LeChul Shinas Val Taras HaKodesh, applies both to Kodesh itself and Chulin that's treated with sanctity of Kodesh. However, Achronos, the remaining five, LeKodesh, only apply a Chumrah to Kodesh itself, Avolo LeChulin, Shinas Val Taras HaKodesh, but don't apply to Chulin that's simply treated with sanctity of Kodesh. So that summarizes case number two in the Mishnah. Next time we'll pick up with case number three in the Mishnah.